Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Shavuos Daf Gimel. We begin right at the beginning of the Gemara. So it's on Beis Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, right after the Mishnah. Here comes the first question. The order, the sequence of the Masechtos. How come Shavuos follows Makos? What's the correlation? Michti, let's take a close look here. Tana mi Makos Solok. So the Tana just concluded Makos. Maishno de Tani Shavuos. Why Shavuos as the next Masechta? The answer is there is some sort of connection. Mishum de Tani, because the last discussion we had in Maseches Makos was pertaining the Isra of shaving off one's peyos, shaving off one's beard, right? Mishum detani chayav al reish shtayim, although there's only one lav, but it triggers two separate violations, so don't remove peyos. Leisakif pa'as reishcha, Rashi says, peyo is lashon seif v'katzu, the corner, the end. So that's where the gulgeles connects with the lechi, the skull with the cheekbone. So it's the temple area. Removal of those hairs constitutes peah removal. So the Mishnah says, although it's just one lav, it really triggers a double violation, two liabilities, meaning one on either side. Okay, so by removing the peahs, he has committed two transgressions, which are really sourced in the same lav. So we see that one lav sort of splits into two. The Tani Chayav al Reish Shtayim, one is liable for shaving his head hair off, meaning, you know, the temple hair. He's Chayav too, Achas Mekan, one for either side. Likewise, regarding shaving a beard, despite there only being one lav, it can generate five times Malkus. Alazokan, regarding shaving a beard, he's Chayav two and two, and one on the bottom. Shtayim Mekan, Shtayim Mekan, Achas Lomato. There are actually five locations within a beard which are off limits in terms of shaving. So Rashi explains once again that it's the peah, the pa'as hazakan, that's problematic. So peah is the end, the corner. So according to Rashi's description over here, it's where the cheekbone meets, where the jaw meets the temple, that's one corner. Then, towards the back of that cheekbone, it sort of protrudes out, so at that corner, and then on the bottom, where the two sides, the two bones sort of meet in the middle, right at the chin. So, shtayim mikan, two on the right side, shtayim mikan, two on the left side of the face, v'achas mamata, one on the bottom. So, we have chado, the mechayev alatarti. It's one lav, one iser, which triggers multiple transgressions and multiple liabilities, which is something, you know, unique. On account of that, we went on to the next Masechta, which deals with a similar phenomenon, Tana Shavuos, Shtayim, which is two, which turns into four, Shtayim Shein Arba. So the Pasuk speaks about just two, you know, possible Shavuos, but really it doubles into four, as we explained yesterday, as we're going to see again today. Although the Pasuk, in its simple meaning, refers to the future events, I will do, I will not do, but the Chachamim, based on the drashas, expanded it to refer to back events, to past events as well. So you have two which turn into four. So that's the connection. We have a single lav, which sort of takes up multiple applications. Likewise, in Shavuos, we have a similar thing, and that's the correlation. Next question. So we take a look at the Mishnah again. We start with a listing of four concepts, four items, which feature a certain pattern. They start off as two, basic, and then they expand and double into four in total. We have Shavuos, Shtayim, Shein Arba. We have Yedeis Hatuma. Right, Yedeis Hatuma is a fellow who was negligent. He went into Beis Hamikdash while he was tamei. He ate karbanos while he was tamei. So you have two examples, and it doubles into four. Maybe Yetzias HaShabbos, carrying on Shabbos. Two primary and an additional two secondary, and we have the four levels of Nega. So these are all Shtayim Sheim Arba, two primary, which sort of double into a total of four. Why is it that by us, in Maseches Shavuos, we have the total list, complete list of all these, examples? Ma'ishna hocha, the tonal luku. But if you take a look at Maseches Shabbos, u'ma'ishna gabi yitzias ha-Shabbos, there it begins with the same sort of formula, yitzias ha-Shabbos, shnayim, shem arba, right? But it doesn't go on to include the other items on the same list. He gives you just one example, that's it. U'maris negoim, likewise, in Maseches Negoim, it also has a similar lashon. Maris Negoim are two, which turn into four, but the loik tonid lulukulu. We stop there, we don't complete, the full list of similar items, as we do over here in Maseches Shavuos. The answer is like this. Amri, the response was given as follows. Shavuos v'yidiyas ha-tumah, because the first item on the list, which is Shavuos, likewise the second item, yidiyas ha-tumah, have some sort of relationship, the Gabi HaDodik Sivan, because in Parshas Vayikra Perak Hei, you find both discussed. So they're situated next to each other in the Chumash. And there's also an underlying connection in terms of the Karban, Vedamian Ahadadi, that's similar to each other, but Karban Oil V'Yerid. In both, there is a Karban Oil V'Yerid brought. So due to that similarity, Tanalu Gabi HaDodik, that's why they're situated next to each other in the Mishnayos as well. We sort of pair them up together, discuss them as one. And once we get to that point, we just complete the list for comprehensiveness. V'aydi d'tana tarti, once we discuss two items on this list of two which turn into four, so we just do a comprehensive list, tano kulu, we add the other ones as well. Here comes the third question regarding the sequence of the Mishnah. Pasach b'shvois mefarash yedias ha-tumah. Why is it that we begin with shvois, shtayim sheim arba? And then we move on to yedias ha-tumah, shtayim sheim arba, so on and so forth. And then when it comes to the point of elaboration, we go back to explain, we sort of skip over, we leapfrog over the first item of Shavuos, and we first focus on yedias ha-tumah, explain it in great detail as we had yesterday in the Mishnah, and only later on the third parak, we're going to go back to Shavuos, which ironically was the item presented first in the Mishnah. Why that sequence? Right, so Pasach b'Shavuos, we open up with a discussion with a reference of Shavuos, mefarish. But in terms of explaining, we skip that and we go to Yedias HaTumah. Why? Answer is, Aidi Dezutra Melayu, since the details and discussions pertaining to Tumah are relatively less and fewer than the more broader and more detailed discussions regarding Shavuah. So therefore, Pasuk, we sort of separate that. Shorilum, we release it, so to speak. We first deal with we discuss Yedias HaTumah, which is a smaller, shorter discussion. We complete that, and then we move on to the main course, V'hadatani Shavuos, to the discussion regarding oaths and vows, the Nefisha Milayu, which are many and numerous, and requires a more in-depth, elaborate discussion. So we first, in the first two parakim, we'll talk about Yedias HaTumah discussions, and then move on to the main topic of discussion, which is Shavuos. Okay, having addressed these three issues, connection to the previous Masechta, the reason for the full list given, and the sequence regarding elaboration, now we're ready to start elaborating on the actual cases. Shavuos, Shtayim, Shein Arba, right? So regarding Shavuos, we have two which turn into four, meaning we have two basic, shtayim, the two basic ones are sho'echa v'lo'echa, as the pasuk speaks of it in that way. I'm going to do, I'm not going to do, lahara la'itiv, something positive, something negative. So it covers both these options. I promise that I will eat, and I don't. I promise I will not eat, and I do. So those are the two basic, primary shvois discussed in the Torah openly. Right, so again, shtayim is sho'echel, I promise I will eat, and I renege on that, or v'shelo'echel, that I will refrain from eating lunch today, and I still go ahead and I do it. How does that double into four? Shein arba, because we add past tense as well. I swear that I chalti, I had breakfast today, and really I didn't. Or v'shalei chalti, I promise I didn't eat a breakfast today, and I actually did. Okay, so that's pretty straightforward. Next item on the list, idiyas ha'tumah, which are two, doubling into four, shtayim shein arba, as follows. The basic two, the basic shtayim, is idiyas tumas kodesh, idiyas tumas migdash. So idiyas in this case means he knew, but he forgot. He forgot that he was tummy, and he had some kodesh, food. Or idiyas tumas migdash. Same thing happened, but he walked into the base of Midash, unaware that he's tummy. So those are the two basics, which double into four shein arba. In cases where, although realizing that he's tummy, he was unaware that this thing is kodesh, but this building is a base of Umigdash. Next is Yitzias Shabbos shtayim shein arba. Carrying on Shabbos totals four scenarios, two basic and two secondary. What are the two primary? Shtayim is Hoitzo Da'ani, carrying out. So the basic will be carrying out from the Rishus Hayachat to Rishus Arab, which is stipulated in the Pasuk, and Shein Arba doubles into four to cover bringing in from the street to the house. That's also considered a Malachan Shabbos because it's relocating, it's Rishus. So Shtayim, the first two is Hoitzo Da'ani, carrying out, performed by the Ani. So that's a classic depiction of events where the Ani is standing, outside at the doorway, and the Balabais, the wealthy homeowner, standing inside, giving him some staka. So carrying out can be accomplished by one of two ways. Haitzah the Ani, either it was the Ani standing on the outside, extending his hand inward, taking an item or taking the dollar bill outside to the street to himself. The Haitzah the Balabais. Likewise, it could have happened through the Balabais, who's standing inside, and he's sticking out something to the street. So these are two similar examples of carrying out Shein Arba, which double into four, to cover also insertion, bringing in from the street to the house, Hachnasa, which can either be accomplished through the Ani, Vachnasa, or being brought in through the Balabais. Right? So either the Ani is carrying something from the street to the house, right, while he's outside, or Vachnasa the Balabais, or performed by the homeowner on the inside of the doorway, taking something from the street into the house. The fourth item on the list is Maris Negoim. Four levels of Nega phenomenons, Shehem Shein Arba, which turns into Shnaim Shein Arba, two, which turn into four. So the Shnaim are the two primary shades of white, Shein Arba, which double into four to include secondary shades of white as well. So each main color has a secondary color to it. Shnaim is the nega called Se'es, or the nega called Baharis, which are actually stipulated in the Pasuk, Se'es or Baharis. Shein Arba, which total four, because each one, Se'es, V'toldasa, has its own, derivative, so to speak. And Baharis, V'toldasa, its own derivative. So if you have like a graph of levels of whiteness going from one to four, four being the brightest, so that would be, let's say, the Beheres is number four, and the Toilada secondary is the number three, which is, a shade light, a shade, less bright. Number two would be the Se'es, and then beneath it is number one, a lesser brightness, which would be the Toilada of the Se'es. Okay, now let's take another look at the items that we just mentioned. Primarily, let's focus on Yidiyos HaTumah, let's focus on Shvois. Mani Masnisen, who's the one authoring the Mishnah here? Whose Shita is reflected in our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Shmuel, forget Rabbi Kiva. It's not going to work with either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Kiva. Why? E Rabbi Shmuel, because according to Rabbi Shmuel Amar, he says, Eilei Chayiv El Al Asid Lavai. The Pasuk says, if a person violates an oath, Oivere Shvuah, pertaining to lahara, to do bad, or later to do good. Clearly speaking about a future event. I will eat, I will not eat. So the chiyuv is limited to those two cases, not to the past. That's inconsistent with our mission, which covers the past as well. That's how you get four, right? Two is the future and another two for the past. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, according to Rabbi Kiva, Well, then the second part of the Mishnah won't match. Ha'amar, he says, regarding Gidiyas Hatuma, the Chiyuv is limited to one who forgot that he was Tami and he, you know, entered the Mikdash or ate the carbon. But if he knows that he's Tami, he just simply didn't realize that this is Kodesh, etc., then there's no carbon for that. And our Mishnah says there is. Either Bekiva Amar Al Helam Tumu Chayv is only liable for forgetting that he's Tami and proceeding, you know, Ve'enu Chayv Al Helam Mikdash, but not for forgetting that this is a Kodesh or this is a Mikdash. Al Helam Kodesh and Mikdash, does the Gemara say? So we're sort of stuck. Our Mishnah that holds that there are four separate liabilities for Shvuah and four separate liabilities for Yediyas Hatuma, is it consistent with either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Kiva? Answers the Gemara, well, Iba Yisem Rabbi Shmuel, Iba Yisem Rabbi Kiva. Guess what? The Mishnah can follow either or. Either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Kiva. How? Iba Yisem Rabbi Shmuel, we'll put it in line with Rabbi Shmuel. And the Mishnah never meant that he's chayav, you know, a carbon for all four different types of shvuah. He's only chayav for the future. Mayhem, some of them, the ones pertaining to future, lechiyav, generate liability. Or mayhem leptur, the ones pertaining to past events, are exempt. We have different scenarios, but different consequences. Two of them are part. Ibai same Rabbi Kiva, likewise. Perhaps the Mishnah is like Rabbi Kiva. Although the Mishnah speaks about four types of Yediyas Hatuma, and according to Rabbi Kiva, it's just two. Once again, the same point. Mehen l'chiv, mehen l'ptur. The Mishnah, perhaps, is simply indicating that there are four possible scenarios, but only two of them are chayiv. Two of them are really potter. Asks the Gemara, how could you say l'ptur? Some of them are potter? It doesn't sound like that from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah pairs together the types of shvuos violations, the types of, you know, Yediyas Hatuma violations, together with the various types of nega. We would assume they're all similar to Maris Negaim. And just like over there, they're all Tame. All four of them are Tame. Mahasam kulu l'chiv, they're all chayev. Rashi says the choice of words chayev here because when a person's Tame, he has to bring part of, you know, the Tahara process requires being Karbanis, so that's why the Lashon Chiv is appropriate. But in any case, all four shades of white are valid Negoim, are active Negoim. Afachanami, we'll assume here as well, regarding Shavuos and regarding Yediyas Hatuma, Afachanami, Kulu L'Chiv, all circumstances related to the Mishnah are really Chayiv, are active. So you can't say two are Chayiv and two are not. Okay, so back to the question, who's the Mishnah? Who's the Mishnah going like? Loilam Rabbi Shmuel. You know what? The Mishnah can be going like Rabbi Shmuel. And as to the question of how could you apply liability for past? V'chilei mechayv Rabbi Shmuel l'shaver. And truthfully, what Rabbi Shmuel says, there's no chiyah for past events. Carbon. He means that there's no carbon. There's no carbon. Oil v'yare. That's unique to a shvuas bitoy l'habo when he verbalizes some sort of commitment or some sort of vow regarding a future activity. I will eat, I will not eat. Transgressing that triggers a carbon, aval malchus. But regarding past events, there's no carbon. I did eat, I didn't eat, there's no carbon for that. Aval malchus, chiyuvim mechayiv. But there's still malchus. And that's all the Mishnah is speaking about. We should speak about malchus. Look at the Rava, as Rava tells us. Dhamma Rava. If we look at the pasuk in Aseret HaDibros, Lo Yisisa Hashem Al Hashem Elokecha L'Shav, and there it says Shav twice, in vain. Now Rashi explains that the classic shvuas Shav, a shvuah which is totally futile, in vain, relates to a fellow who promises to contradict, who makes an oath regarding something which is obviously wrong, which is evidently a lie. This classic cases, the Amud shall Evan, he says, look, this is a post over here, it's really a stone post, I swear to you it's gold. It's plainly evident that he's just, you know, speaking in vain. It never took off the ground. There was never a moment in time that had any shred of credibility to it. That's called Shvuas Shav. A person engages in that, he gets malchus. speaking about a past event that did or didn't happen is very similar. It's not exactly Shavua Shav, because whether or not I had breakfast isn't so clear and evident like the material that this table is made of, right? But it's very similar. It's a close relative to Shavua Shav, because it already happened or didn't happen. So the utterance is really a lie. You see, this is in contrast to Shavua's Bitei, which relates to a future event. I will eat. Okay, so at the moment, it's not yet, hasn't been, you know, falsified until it actually happens. It doesn't happen, right? That's called Shavua's Bitei, a commitment which he does not adhere to. That generates carbon. Speaking about a past event, says the Gemara, it's like a Shavua's Sheker. Because if I swear that I had breakfast, and I really didn't, it's not the same level of outright lie like a person who's denying a plainly clear and evident truth that's sitting in front of him. But it is nevertheless considered a Sheker. And for that, you get Malkus. Just like a Shavua's Shav generates Malkus, likewise a Shavua's Sheker. Look at the Rabbah, the Rabbah Befeirush, Ribsa, Teiru, Shavua Sheker, Dumi, the Shavua Shav. The Torah here is broadening the scope of liability from Shavua Shav to Shavua Sheker. So just like when it's an outright plain lie, which is called Shavua Shav, a Shavua in total vain, there is Malkus, likewise Shavua Sheker. Ma Shav L'Shav, just like Shav, is something which relates to a past event, meaning an existing phenomenon, lying about the material of a given piece of furniture. Af sheker nam l'shaver. Likewise, sheker pertains to something which either did or didn't happen. I had breakfast, I really didn't. I promised I didn't, I really did. And Malkus applies for that as well. Okay, so basically, we answered our question, because although the Mishnah speaks about liabilities pertaining to four applications of Shavua, two of which relate to past. And according to Rishmol, there's no carbon for past Shavua, but there is Malkus. And in fact, the Mishnah is speaking about Malkus. So let's break down all four cases and see how it works. So very well, if I said I had breakfast, and I really didn't, that's labeled as Shavua Sheker, there's Malkus, Kedurava, as we just explained. Likewise, Shaloi Eiche V'achal. Well, let's skip to the future now. I promise I will not have lunch. And he did. He went ahead and he had his lunch. So that's an act of transgression. Nami, there as well. Malkus is perfectly applicable. Lav sheish b'maisu. He's transgressing a law which pertains to a physical act, which has a physical expression. He did something to override that shvua, to violate the shvua. So again, regarding past, granted, there's a malchus applied, so like achalti, which means I promise I ate breakfast, I really didn't. Or veloy achalti, I promise I did not eat breakfast, and he really did. Because the Rabbah, as Rabbah explained, that's called Shavua Sheker, generates malchus. Regarding future as well, one example of future is, I will not eat, and he could not resist, and he had his meal. Okay, that's a violation, a true violation, which has a physical expression. Lav sheish b'maisu. However, the last case is problematic. The last remaining case is not going to work. Ela oiche. But if he promises to have his lunch, because remember, everything has positive and negative, right? Ela oiche. V'loiche. He didn't have his lunch. He did not adhere to his promise. Malkus? Malkus applies there? Am I? Why? Lav shei b'maisu. It's certainly a lav, but it does not pertain, does not have a physical expression. It's a passive violation. Lav shei b'maisu. How can you get a malchus? We know that typically a lav needs to have a physical expression. And here it's lav shei b'maisu. Answer is kasav Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel himself holds. Guess what? There is malchus for that too. Lav shei b'maisu. Like an olav. Okay, so before we continue, let's just quickly summarize. We had a problem because the Mishnah speaks about four possible cases of Shavua, all with liabilities. The answer was, it's Rabbi Shmuel speaking. True, there's only carbon for Lahaba, but the Mishnah is speaking about Malkus, and Malkus applies to past events too. What about if I promise to eat and I withhold, which is merely a passive violation? Why is there malchus? Because even lav shem v'maisa generates malchus. Okay. Yochi. If so, kashya de Rabbi Yechanan ad Rabbi Yechanan. It's going to generate a contradiction within Rabbi Yechanan. Why? Has Rabbi Yechanan come into the picture here? Don't Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan already told us in the past, halacha kistam mishnah. The halacha follows an anonymous mishnah. So if Rabbi HaKadosh presented a mishnah without a name, it was meant to be followed the halacha. Okay, now in our mishnah, which is a stam mishnah, we've just concluded the mishnah will hold love with adamasa generates malchus. The itma, but we have learned, and this was actually very recently in Maseches Malchus, where Rabbi Yechon himself says lav shein b'maisa does not generate malchus. A fellow gets up and says, Shvo sha'eichel kikar zuhayim. Look, I'm going to have this loaf of bread today. V'rayim lo yachlo. The day passes, and he hadn't touched it. Does he get malchus for violating his oath? Rabbi Yechon, V'reish lakish, they both say, no malchus. Amr tavai, ain't a loike. But for different reasons. Rabbi Yechon omar, ain't a loike because m'sham d'havale lav shein b'maisa. Refraining. Passive transgression is with adamas. And when it doesn't have a physical expression, there's no malchus. So clearly Rabbi Yechanan adopted the view of ein leiken olav, which seems to be in direct contradiction to our stam mishnah, which we have established as adopting the view of leiken olav. Okay, let's just continue and finish this segment first. Rish Lakish has a different reason why there's no malchus. Ein leiken, because that's Rosh Safaki, because the warning in advance of this violation is really steep with uncertainty, because the violation only happens at the end of the day, so it's considered a suffek. Vasra suffek leshma asra doesn't count as asra. Now the obvious question is, why can't they just repeatedly warn him until the end of the day? Do I eat it, right? So the answer given is that the asra has to be within a very short time lapse, right? Tekhdei Dibor, within 2-3 seconds of the act. Otherwise, he might have just forgotten and might not be mindful, right? And we also don't know exactly when the day's up. I mean, Shkia can be, a few seconds, one way or the other. So even if they repeatedly warn him, well into the night, it's impossible, virtually impossible to determine which one of those warnings was the valid one. Which one was expressed within, the required Tekhde Dibor of Shkia. Ultimately, leaving each one, all those warnings as uncertain warnings, not established, not confirmed warnings. Asra is suffix. And that doesn't count as Asra. Okay, so that's Rish Lakish's opinion. But what pertains to us right now is Rabbi Yechanan said the Lav Shein B'Malchus did not generate Malchus in explaining that halach. Whereas now Mishnah, we see the opposite. And it's a stam Mishnah, which according to Rabbi Yechanan is meant to be adopted lahalach. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan, stam achrina ashkach. Rabbi Yechanan located another stam Mishnah, that alav shem b'maisa, ein loiken alav, and that's what he went with. And soon the obvious question will come, well, why did he prefer that Mishnah over our Mishnah? Okay, we'll see that soon. But first, let's try to discover the source for that opinion. Hai stama, which stam Mishnah? Ilema hai stama, is it the following stam Mishnah, this nun? Aval ha-moyser b'tar, if a person leaves over from the Karban Pesach until morning, and it's a Karban Pesach, which was, your typical Karban Pesach, which was brought b'taharam, or v'ashayver b'tami, or he broke a bone in a Karban Pesach, which had been brought b'tumah. If most of the tzibur was tama, you can bring a Karban Pesach in a state of tumah, but if you broke a bone there, there's no malchus. So in either case, there's no malchus. Any like esarabayim, there's no malchus. Why? Bishleim eshever b'tami. It's fully understandable. Breaking a bone in the Karban Pesach tamei, that doesn't count for malchus. The pasuk says, "Don't break the bone." Ve'etzem letishbru boy. What's the added word boy? It's limited to bekasher. Your typical Karban Pesach. B'lei b'pasul as opposed to Karban Pesach, which was brought in a state of tumah. Although the carbon is fine, but there's no liability for breaking a bone. Okay, that's understood. Why is there no malchus for noisar? It's an outright violation. Avala moiser betar, my time. Why is there no malchus there? Oh, lav mishum dahav lav shem emaisa. Apparently, because it's a lav that does not feature any physical expressions, he just sat back and allowed the meat to expire. V'chol lav shem emaisa in like an olav. And clearly, we see there's no malchus for a lack of masa. Okay, so that's perhaps Rabbi Yochanan's source. Hold it, says the Gemara. Emaisa, the Rabbi Yaakov. Who's to say that this halacha, this mishnah, is in line with Rabbi Yaakov? Who in fact holds that this is the reason, because it doesn't have a masa, and that will be your source for Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Umamai de Rabbi Yaakov, the Omer who says, Lav, Shein b'maisa, there's no malchus, ain't like an olive. Oh, perhaps there's an entirely different reason for lack of malchus. Perhaps Lav, Shein b'maisa does generate malchus. Why is it no malchus by Noiser? You know why? Because it's a lav and it's a glacé. The Torah says, don't leave it over, if you do, burn it. The Torah provides you with an escape hatch, a way to remedy, to fix up what you did, and be spared from malchus. A special, exceptional case. The reason why there's no malchus is because the pasuk comes back and says, "Litin asay achalais asay," to give you a positive opportunity, and asay, burn the meat after having violated the leisas. Halav hachi lucky, but otherwise, perhaps malchus would apply. Even though it doesn't really feature a masa. The Sanya, where do we have this discussion between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda as per the reason for the lack of malchus by Noisa? The Sanya. The pasuk says, like, Sisir menot boiker, don't leave over the meat till morning. Vanoisa menot boiker, if you did, Beish Shreva, burn it. By adding that positive opportunity after the negative one, we have a asay, achalos asay. Ba akosa lead an asay, achalos asay. The Torah here is following with an asay after Leisei Leimet to tell you, Shein Leik and Olav, there's no malchus for violating Noisa. Did Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yaakov Oyman, no, Leimet Hashem Ozeh, that's not the reason. Ela Mishim Davel, Lav Shein Beimas. The reason for no malchus is because there's no physical expression here. V'lav Shein Beimasa, Ein Leik and Olav. So again, back to the question. Perhaps the reason why there's no malchus by Noisa is because it's a lav and it's a glasay. Otherwise, perhaps it would be malchus, even though it's a lav shein b'mas. So back to the question, where was Rabbi Yechanan's source? Ella ha'istama ashkach. Rather, we found another stam mishnah, that in fact, a lav without a masa doesn't generate malchus. The mishnah says like this, Shvo shaloi oichal kikrus, I promise I will not eat this loaf of bread. And then he comes back and repeats himself for reinforcement. Shvo shaloi oichlana. So you would think, how many violations has he committed? V'achla if he ate it, right? If he eats it. He went and he ate it. How many transgressions? How many malchus? We think twice. Because of both shavuos. No. He only gets one set of malchus. And Rashi explains, because once he made a shavuah, it became forbidden. You can't add a layer of isser on top of a pre-existing layer of isser. It's called Ein Isser Chalal Isser. We had this just a little while ago in Sanhedrin. In Makkah, sorry. It's called Mushba Ba'imin Mahar Sinai. We had the discussion regarding the shvua of not plowing on Yom Tov. Well, Yom Tov, in any case, he's already committed to that from Har Sinai. You can't add another layer of shvua on that. We're committed by oath from Har Sinai. So here as well, once he makes the shvua not to eat it, he's committed by oath from Har Sinai, because he meant to keep your word, to keep the mitzvahs, to keep the shvua. You can't add another layer of shvua on top of that. So it's a total of one chi. Fine. Zui shvua spitui. The mission concludes, this is an example. This is your case of Shavuos Pitui, right? A Shavua that's called Shavuos Pitui, a verbal expression, a commitment. Shechayav and Alzdoin Makas, that if violated intentionally, brings Makas. Al Shigos, a carbon oil yard, if it was done without mindfulness, is a carbon oil yard. Now, the expression Zuhi in this Mishnah is seemingly trying to exempt something. It's limited to this case, as opposed to, right? Zuhi, only this one, the Chayav and Alzdein Makas. But, in a case which is somewhat similar, but vastly different, for instance, Aval, but let's say he promises to have the loaf of bread, Oichal, I'll eat it. And he didn't, Lo Yachal. He transgressed, but passively, by not, by withholding. Here, Lo Yachal, you don't get Makas. Why? What's the difference between the two cases? Big difference. In contrast to the previous case, he was meant to withhold and he proceeded. That's a lav with a masa, as opposed to this case. He was meant to proceed, he withheld. Ein bei masa, there's no malchus. Hence, Rabbi Yochanan's source, Astam Mishnah, Maseches Shavuos, actually, that there's no Malkus for Lafshem Emes. Okay, that takes us back to the obvious question, but we have one Stam Mishnah going in this direction versus our Stam Mishnah, first Mishnah in our Masechta, which seems to hold Lafsha Ein B'Maisa, does get Malkus. That's why there's Malkus in all four cases of Shvuah violations, including the one that doesn't have a Malkus. So then, Michti, let's stop and think for a second. Hai Stama. Here you have one Stam going one direction, and one Stam Mishnah in the other direction. Mai Chazi Da'avet Ki Hai Stama. Why did Rabbi Yochanan choose to pick this one? Le'avet Ki Hai Stama, let him go the other one. Good question. V'tameich. Let me ask you a question. Rabbi Gufi, Rabbi himself, Rabbi HaKadosh, why did he present one Stam Mishnah as saying one thing and then sort of contradict himself in the next Stam Mishnah? Hechi Sasam La Nahacha Hachi. How is it and why is it that over here he was saying in the Mishnah one way, V'acha Hachi, and elsewhere he presented an anonymous Mishnah in the opposite direction? How does that work? So we'll give an answer that answers both questions. Ella rather, Mikara, Savar, Lav, Shem Maisa Lekanov. Initially, while he was presenting, while he was, you know, compiling the Mishnah, beginning of our Masech, at that point, he had the position that a Lav without a Masa still earns Malkus. Vesasma, that's why he packaged it like that in the Stam Mishnah. But then, you know, the way Torah works, right? It develops, it evolves. You gain more clarity, you bring more rayas, you see more things, you broaden your scope. And then, Vahadar, he figured, okay, it's time to change, he retracted. Vahadar Savar ain't like an alav. Hence, the next Tam Mishnah was Tama, and he included in the next Mishnah. So then the question is, why didn't he delete the first Mishnah? They couldn't do it. U-Mishnah, the first Mishnah, once it's been studied, disseminated, absorbed amongst the Talmidim, they couldn't uproot it. The Rashi gives us a behind the scenes insight of how this came about. So Rashi here is 8 lines from the top. U-Mishnah Rishon, the first Mishnah, Af B'Shechazer Bo Mistimas, even though he retracted from it, Me'achar She'Pashut B'Rav Talmidim, once it became established, became absorbed within these students, the later Chacham could not didn't have the ability to delete it, to make them forget it, and to delete it from the Beis HaMedrash. They left both in place. So if a person who puts his mind to it, we'll see, we'll figure it out. It's pretty plain and evident. You haven't understand that if you have one version one way and then another version the other way, which one is the correct one? Shachroina. Ikar, the second one is real. Shechazer ben Rishon, apparently he retracted from the first presentation, and that's why he came up with another one. So typically, the final edition is the one you go with. So now, you know, interesting point, why, you know, why the later generations, why didn't they, you know, once the printing phenomenon began, why didn't they delete some of the, some say it's to teach us a lesson that any effort, any investment in Torah, even a hava mina, even something which doesn't stay on, is still considered Torah. It's all part of the process. It's part of Torah's emes, Torah's chaim. You get schar, and it's eternal. In fact, there's a classic quote from the Rugged Shavu Goyin, you know, the pre-war Goyin, Rav Yosef Ruzhin from Medvinsk. They quote him as saying that every hava mina in Shas, even the ones that were refuted and, you know, done away with, every step in Shas, every Svara is eternal. And you see, even in Gemara, sometimes, you know, the reasoning, the logic presented in you know, given context won't necessarily hold out, but that same logic is applied properly and effectively in a different place in Shas. So the Svara, the thinking, the logic of Torah is real and is eternal. Okay, quick summary of today's daf. We had three questions regarding the first, regarding the Seder, why Shavuos after Malkus, why the full list of you know, to turn it to four, and also why would we picked to focus on Yedias HaTumah before Shavuot, so we discussed that, and then we try to figure out who the Iman Da'omar of the Mishnah is. And the conclusion was, at this point, we have a conclusion that it's Rabbi Shmuel. And although, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's only a carbon on the two Shavuot Lahabo, the Mishnah is focusing on Malkus. And Malkus, the Anish of Malkus, will apply in all four cases. Whether it's transgression of a Shavuot pertaining to future events, or pertaining to past events. And now, what about a case where he promises to eat and he doesn't eat? Which is really a lav shein by mice. According to our Mishnah, there's Leikon Olav, there's Malkus on that as well. And all the Rav Yechanan holds that Halacha Kastam Mishnah, and he himself was shown to hold that lav shein by mice ain't Leikon Olav. Well, that's because he sourced it in a different Mishnah later on in Shavuos, which as well confirms the opinion of lav shein by mice ain't Leikon Olav. All the best to you and much atzlacha.